Good day, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Dropping the Gloves. Thanks for joining us here. Nice and nice Friday, Tim. How's it going over there?
It's good. It's good. How's your week, John? How are you feeling?
So far so good. Yeah, can't complain. Connor Garland. A lot of good feedback on that. You know, I always come out of an interview not knowing how it's going to be received. But that one, some people are saying it's our best ever, which is shocking because I didn't think it was terrible, but I didn't think it was our best ever. But boy, oh boy, people are really, really enjoying Connor Garland. They loved how honest he was and how it was just a nice, normal conversation. Now, is that more you bringing that out of him or is that just Connor Garland?
Oh, it's both of us. I think I saw a lot of the comments on YouTube about saying it was one of the favorite interviews they've ever seen. And I feel like it's not just to us, but to ever. And those are probably like people that have just recently discovered our show. And different shows have different styles. And I think sometimes it just resonates really well with the player and they're able to have a good conversation. And feels like that's what happened this week with Garland. So it was good, really good conversation. And he was very open and honest, which is nice, especially for a current player. You know, a lot of the guys that are in the league still kind of give those canned answers. And he was willing to be open and transparent about stuff.
Yeah, what stood out to me was, yeah, like you said, all that stuff. But in his answers, I just got thinking how good of a coach Rick Tocchet is. He excelled in Arizona. I don't know why it didn't work out there. But then he goes to Vancouver, and he has relatively the same team as Bruce Boudreau had, and the coach before him, Travis Green, and the coach before him. They've had a laundry list of Vigneault was there a little bit. It just shows you how good of a coach Tocchet is, but it also shows you how much a coach is crucial to a team. A lot of times people think, oh, a coach is just there to send people on the ice and, you know, tell them when to get on and off and maybe work on the power play. It's so important to have a good coach. It can change everything about a team. And it just Vancouver Canucks, case in point. They were terrible, not terrible last year, but they were a middling team, middle of the pack, maybe in the wild card race right at the end, just because they had such a terrible start. They turned it on near the end when Tocchet came in the last 30 games. Connor mentioned that, but fast forward to this year, no pickups, right? Like same team across the board, maybe a couple, you know, tertiary guys, role players, but most part the same guys. They're in the topic for the best team in the NHL. And it's because of Rick Tocchet, what he brings to the table. Did you catch that? Because I was just thinking about that all night. I couldn't get it off my mind.
Yeah, this is kind of where you have to read between the lines a little bit, because Connor's not going to come out and say, like, because players don't want to make headlines for the things they say in interviews and podcasts and stuff like that. So he's not going to say we're the team we are this year because of Rick Tocchet, and we didn't have him last year till late in the season, and he's the reason why we're doing so well. But you ask him the question, the first answer is the first sentence, him talking about the coaching change last year and the systems that they have this year, which is him saying all that stuff. And he's not going to do it in a way that's going to bash Boudreau, because for all you know, Boudreau gets a job in, you know, Detroit next year and he gets traded to Detroit and Bruce is his coach again. Like, you don't want to burn any bridges, but he was pretty clear about the reason that the team's doing so well. And we asked Sidorov a few weeks ago and he'd only been there for, you know, 10 days at that point, but his answer was pretty much the same thing. And so there's something special with this group, and Tocchet seems to get the most of his players. And I just hope this success continues.
Yeah, it really is a trickle down effect, and you put a coach in place and it just bleeds into the players. Like it's obvious. And JT Miller, I think, is a prime example. He's responding to this. I don't think he respected Bruce Boudreau very much. I think he wasn't his type of coach and it just didn't seem to work out. He was frustrated with his coaching style, maybe the same for Pettersson, but it just seems like things are clicking. Things are working very, very well. Well, I had a little negative comment. Someone says I'm too hard on the Coyotes. I'm sorry. Like, I don't know. We have a sorted past, me and the Coyotes. Every time I speak of them, I did give them a compliment this year. They're playing really good hockey. I just don't like how they go about their business. And I know it's a completely different ownership group and management and stuff like that, but you know, those wounds, they take a long time to heal. They really do. I've forgiven, but I haven't forgotten. So, and then they have Liam O'Brien, who was the scum of the earth.
He leads the league in PIMS last time I checked. But even like the one comment that you made about Arizona was that you had to Garland. You said you guys had a pretty good little run there relative to Arizona's recent history, which I think is a totally fair thing to say. It's not like you were just dumping all over them. You have dumped over them, but that comment kind of came, I don't know. It's hard to hear sometimes. Sometimes the truth hurts.
Yeah, they're having a good year this year. I did watch an Arizona game last week or so. It's so hard to watch them in their arena. It really does seem like it is a college arena. For as much as they do, maybe I'm late to the party and everybody's already talked about this, but it's tough. Tough to watch that on TV. Even the sounds. It sounds like a small rink because it is, but you think they could, you know, mask it a little bit, but boy, it's strange. If you haven't watched one, just go on ESPN Plus and watch it. And it's a very strange thing to see an NHL rink. Sounds like your local rink with the echoes and stuff, because in an NHL rink you don't have that. They have sound dampers. It's just a huge auditorium. They do a great job with the presentation, the microphones on the glass, everything's top notch. In a college rink, it's just so weird. Like, you hear the echo of the passes from tape to tape. You hear all these little things that just you don't pick up in an NHL barn. So it's good for Arizona. They're having a great season. It's going to be fun when they trade everybody away. Speaking of Arizona, we have a lot to talk about. We have updates on Merzlikins. We're going to jump into the Leafs. But first, I want to get to something I saw this morning. Jacob Chychrun, the prize piece from the Arizona Coyotes. You know, the coveted golden ticket they were dangling in front of everybody in the NHL. The Bruins, the Leafs, the Oilers, this and that. We have your answer to your back end. He's going to be your 1A. All of a sudden, Ottawa came out of nowhere. Paid, what did they get? Two first rounders, a second rounder for Chychrun, I think it was. He's on the market again, apparently. He's going to be a UFA after this year, Tim. Apparently, he's not happy. He's making 4.6. Not a bad contract for what he brings to the table. He's a moose of a man. I think he's 6'3". He's decent with his puck skills. He's physical. And he's absolutely drop-dead gorgeous. Have you seen a picture of him lately?
Yes. Yeah.
Like, isn't it frustrating to look at that when you're like, man, that's
some
annoying.
Some people have it all. Yeah.
Seriously. But you know what's funny? He's not happy. He's not happy. He's got $4.6 million contract. He's a stud defenseman. He's not happy, and he wants out of Ottawa. Some people thought maybe he grew up in Ontario. That would be the selling point. No, he's frustrated being in Ottawa. He wants out. What do you think of this situation? And are the rumors true? Because it's some Ottawa guys spilling the tea on this, and the GM in Ottawa is apparently fielding offers for him. What do you think about this, Tim?
Not a great move for them to do that. And just to clarify, he's under contract through next year too. So it's not till, 18 months from now that he's going to be a free agent. He's got such a good contract. He's such a good player. I feel like if you want to build something in Ottawa, he has to be part of it. But unless you take a step further back and realize what you're building isn't working, you know what I mean? Like, this was supposed to be a year of progress, and you're still in the bottom of the East among the worst teams in the league. So clearly there's something that's not working in this group. I don't think Chychrun is part of the problem. The stats that he logs, the minutes that he logs, he plays up in both ends of the ice really well. I was reading an article, two or three weeks ago now. I wish I had it in front of me, but just talking about how good he's been in ways that don't show up on the stat sheet and how important he is to the back end on that team. So I can't imagine a situation where they trade Chychrun and get better unless they're kind of doing you can't even say retool, because you got your core locked up now. You're like, this is the group. So if you want to move a player that, I don't know, opens up new possibilities, if you have Giroux coming off the books in a couple of years, if you have Tarasenko and Chychrun is part of that group, that frees up cap space to bring in some new meat, maybe. But I don't see a possibility where you get rid of him and bring in someone better, especially for that cap number.
Yeah, I kind of see it both ways. They're obviously not successful this year. So what things can we change with this team? And when you look at their roster, I think they're okay on the back end. You know, they don't give, like, they give up a decent amount of goals. But when you look at the guys they have on their roster, we talked about Sanderson. He's a good defenseman. They got Shabbat Shalom, Artem Zub, three good defensemen you can build your team around. Maybe that makes a Jacob Chychrun expendable. You know, you don't need four 1A guys to build your decor around. You can get by with three solid ones and three good ones. So maybe that makes him a little bit of a good trade piece, especially if he's maybe not happy. Like, why do you want to keep him around if he doesn't want to be here? And he is at the height of his value. He is making another, he has another year, like you said, on his deal. So why not maximize that, because you're not making the playoffs this year for the Ottawa Senators. You're dead last in the Atlantic by a country mile. Like you're looking up at the Buffalo Sabres by 12 points. There's no chance you're making the playoffs. So whatever recipe that you think you've cooked up, if you're the Ottawa Senators, if you're their GM, Steve Stahouse, something has to change, right? Like you have to do something. And we're going to talk about the Toronto Maple Leafs in a minute, but the Ottawa Senators are paralleling them very, very closely, where you're locked into these guys long term, and you're expecting them to take that next step. And I've said it for a couple of years now. This is as good as the Senators are going to get. They've maxed out on their potential. Their guys: Stutzel, Chuck, Norris, Batherson, Joseph, Shabbat Shalom, Artem Zub, Sanderson. I think we've reached a high watermark with these guys. So if that's the case, then we have to answer the question. We got to mix up the ingredients. And one of those ingredients is Chychrun, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess
I know
so.
You. I know it's hard for you. You like this team.
I do, and I like that player too. I hope they figure it out. Maybe next year, right? Can we hope? Oh man, how long can we keep going back to this well? I don't know.
And I don't want to just quote the oft-quoted the definition of insanity is doing the same thing expecting a different result, but it applies here perfectly. You can't keep going back to the well. Like you have to change something up. Tarasenko, not the answer. Claude Giroux, not the answer. So you're putting in different veteran pieces to try to spur some success from these young guys. Maybe it's the young guys. Maybe you've put all the money into the wrong guys, and we applauded them for getting those contracts out there, you know, signing them young. They're going to grow into it. They're going to be great deals. That's fantastic. But much like Rick Tocchet in Vancouver, who's stirring the drink there and making everything's work, maybe this group doesn't work. Maybe you have to replace a Stutzel, get rid of a Norris, move some pieces just to see if something else works, because they're all great players, right? They put up pretty solid stats across the board. They just don't work. And so anyways, I just wanted to just see your take on that, because I saw that and I'm like, oh, that was a short honeymoon period for Jacob Chychrun in Ottawa. He's been there less than a year. All of a sudden, they're talking about trading him. So, whew. Face like yeah. that? Oh, my
before
word.
Before we move on, I'll just point out the goaltending has just been pretty bad. Korpisalo and Forsberg have both played pretty horribly. Now, I haven't watched the games enough to know whether their stats are reflective of like the defense and you know, the shots on net and the power play and all that stuff. But I look at their stats right now, and all their top guys are performing pretty well. Giroux's got 38 points. Tutsula's 38 points. Tkachuk, Batherson, Tarasenko, all putting up numbers. And then you have their goaltenders, and it's goals against above .300, save percentage below .900. So maybe there's something in there and they're missing that piece, but you still like with that offense up front, you'd expect to be better than last place in the East. You know what I mean? Regardless, even if you're getting below average goaltending. So there's some other missing ingredient, but that's certainly a big part of it.
If you're spending to the cap, you can't be last place. You have to show some progress. And they're 15 and 24.
Yeah.
That's bad. Like that.
Remember at one point they were like 11 and 11 and they were last place because they played like eight fewer games. But now it's no more excuses.
They're way closer to the lottery. Like, The Chicago Blackhawks, who I follow very closely, have 28 points. And they don't have anybody on their team. Nobody. Let that sink in. An Ottawa Senators team who has Giroux, Tkachuk, Stutzel, Shabbat, Batherson, Norris, Chychrun, Sanderson, all-star caliber players, have 30 points. Yeah. 30. The Chicago Blackhawks have waiver wire pickups and Rockford IceHogs on their roster, and they have 28. Name one player on the Chicago Blackhawks on the current roster right now.
Who's the guy we talked about? Garrison? No, Dickinson. Jason Dickinson.
Shouldn't take that long. Should not take that long.
Mrazek. Will they trade Mrazek at the deadline?
Yeah, I think so. Right. He's been fantastic. He's been like, if they don't have him, they have 20 points. Razzik has been that good. He's my MVP for them so far this far through the season. But moving on, I just wanted to touch on that because that's, you don't see every day a 25-year-old moose of a defenseman who can move the puck getting moved, and he's on a decent salary, potentially being moved twice in his career so far. So maybe there's something wrong with Tytran. Maybe he's too handsome.
It's the contract. It just makes him so movable and so desirable for other teams. And so it won't happen again after he signs a big ticket.
It's a bad beat. Yeah. Speaking of bad beats, if you want to avoid bad beats, you go to our friends over at Give Better. Because even if you do hit a bad beat there, part of your losses goes to charity. So it's a win-win. And I know a lot of you have signed up for it, but I want to urge the rest of you to please go sign up. They got their app out. It's fantastic. And you have a limited time now, only until the Super Bowl, to win $100 from Give Better. We've already had a listener who won $100. He sent us a thing and he's like, I got $100. Fantastic. Thanks, guys. It's a no-brainer. All you have to do is sign up. Go to givebetter.app/DTG. Download the app. It's fun. I have it here on my phone. I can pull it up. You go here. It's Give Better. It's a simple thing. And then you make your picks. My camera stinks, but it's right there. Yeah. It's so easy. It's very, very user-friendly. Check it out. You have a chance to win $100 for the next month because the Bills are going to win the Super Bowl. Everybody knows it. And then you help out yourself, your pocketbook, and then hopefully you parlay that into some more winnings. And if not, when you lose, part of it goes to charity. It's like the Toms. Remember the Toms shoes? You buy one goes to Africa. Like that. If the money goes to a charity, maybe it's in Africa. I don't know where the money goes, but you can pick a nice charity to choose from. Trying to round up some guys to join this, you know, get some guys who have charities involved.
All my friends and families are doing it too.
Does Gronk have a charity? You're good friends with Gronk.
Yeah, I'll text him. I'll give him a call. I'm sure he does.
Before we started taping with Garland, Tim lives in the same neighborhood as him. Like, you grew up right next to each other. And I'm like, Tim's good friends with Gronk. Tim's like, yeah. You just like, you're so full of yourself. That's so amazing.
No, stop it. That did happen, though.
It did happen. Yeah. All right. Moving on. There's been an update on Merzlikens since the last time we talked. I think Monday we brought him up. There's already been some movement on his situation.
Yeah. So the thing on Monday was that he had requested a new scenario, quote unquote, which wasn't formally a trade, but basically saying like, play me or trade me. You know what I mean? And he had said as much that he didn't formally request a trade, but that changed. He got a start on, Tuesday, I think it was. And he got the win over Vancouver, shootout win. Really good game for him, especially he hadn't played in almost 3 weeks at that point. And he stopped all four Canuck shooters in the shootout, which is not easy for that group. So he played pretty well, and he told the media after the game that he had formally requested a trade. So it is official now, which is it's a lot of things. I'm going to talk a little bit about that, but there's a great quote from him, and he says, after my last interview that everyone knows I requested for trade, everyone here was still playing for me, and they're playing for me and blocking the shots for me, and this is awesome. I really appreciate them. It was a really easy game for me. There's a couple of things here. First of all, I like this from him, the shout out to his teammates. And I like the fact that they're not letting this distraction impact the way they play. They've got two other goalies on the roster. They're going to play just as hard in front of Merzlikens as they play in front of anyone else, which is what you expect. It's not like
you're a professional. You have to do that.
I like his little closing remark too. It was a really easy game for me. Just reminding him like, hey, you know what? You just beat the best team in the league. You ended their 5-game skid after sitting me for 18 days. You put me in the lineup when we win a game, and it wasn't even that hard for me. You know what I mean? Like, he's really throwing some shade here. And then there was even some remark. I don't know if it was, I didn't see it, but I just saw a comment and a couple tweets about it, about him sort of like gesturing toward up at the press box after the game, toward the armor or whatever. And he was asked about it, and you know who he was mad at. And he said, don't worry about it. It's personal. So it's usually the other way around. Like, oh, it's not personal. You know, heat in the moment thing. He's like, no, this is personal. So, good remark from him. What did you think about this showing from Merzlikens?
It's like when Ivan Drago looks up at the USSR box and they got, who was in there? I don't know. One of the leaders. I fight for myself. I don't know if I like this. It's starting to get a little carried away if I'm Merzlikens. I like the first salvo of, you know, comments about how, you know, I don't worry about that. If I want to play, I play. I'm a number one goalie. That's who I am. I'm not a number three guy. Just put me in net. I think it's getting a little aggressive. You have to read the room and kind of know where you're at. It's going to be hard to trade him. He makes a lot of money. It's not like he's sitting here making $2 to $3 million. That's a contract that's easily to be moved, especially for a goaltender where people don't like to invest a lot of money these days, because you see what happens when teams invest a lot of money in a goaltender. Bobrovsky, Carey Price, Robin Lehner, all these great goaltenders, it's just dead cap space. So you have to be careful. And if you're out there demanding a trade and just causing issues, and then you don't get traded, what happens? Like, you're still on the team. So you have to walk that line. It's a very, very hard thing to navigate. And obviously the language barrier doesn't help, because I think he's trying his best to voice what he's thinking, but it's coming off as just very aggressive. So I don't know. I think he could have done without a lot of the comments he made this past game. And maybe the making a personal thing he could have left out, but it's interesting. What's LeBron saying on this? Because he's got his pulse on it just as much as you do. You and Pierre LeBrun are like two peas in a pod, Tim.
Yeah, no, we're exchanging information all the time. He said that on Insider Trading that there's really no takers for Merzlikens right now. A big reason, like you said, his contract, you know, it's a lot of money, $4.5 million for the next, five point five, over three more years. So that's a lot of money. That's a lot of term to a guy that hasn't played that well. He's played well in different stretches of his career, but didn't play well last year. And so you kind of have a guy who hasn't seen the net. And so no one really wants to make that leap right now. He's going to have to play better for a while before the trade market, firms up a little bit for him. Even for as many teams that need goalies right now, he's not getting any takers, which says a lot.
He's turning 30. He's making 5.4. So you look at that, he's going to end this contract when he's 33, 34. So that's a tough one to move. So I think he ends up in Columbus unless the Jackets eat a bunch of this contract. But he is a good goaltender. He's shown it when he came into the league. He was great. Like you said last year, he struggled mightily. So I don't know. At the end of the day, do I think he gets moved? No. I think he's there, and I think he's just going to be an awkward hallway interaction every time he runs into Yarmo. It is what it is. They both have put themselves in this situation. I think maybe Elvis should have kept it to himself a little bit. As a player, you have to know where you're at. And I think maybe he spoke out of pocket a little bit. Don't you think? Or you probably like this. Young kids nowadays speaking his mind. You know, he's letting his feelings out. You gotta let that stuff out. You gotta talk it through. Like, what do you think he should have shut his mouth a little bit?
There's a healthy way of letting your frustrations out without doing it publicly. You know what I mean? There's a middle ground there. And like you said the other day, of like, it's rare that a player or GM or a coach or someone in the organization airs their dirty laundry publicly and the situation gets better. And I think that's what we're starting to see, where it got a little bit worse this week. Even though he played well and got them the win, he's making it personal. He's formally requesting a trade. He's speaking directly to the media, which, that doesn't really happen. Like, when the players don't really tell the press after a game, I've requested a trade. You know what I mean? Like, it's always done through the back channels, through the agents, through the reporters, things like that. And Frank and Pierre and those guys are breaking it. And you believe them because it's coming from the source, but it's not directly. So there's something's up here that we probably don't have information on between the two of them. But when we posted this on socials, all the comments coming from Blue Jackets fans is that they're fed up with Yarmo. They said a lot of teams would have released him, you know, years ago. They just don't like what he's done. They don't like what he's building. I think it's sort of amateurish is the tone that I'm getting from them on what they think of him, which is, I think it's probably fair, the frustration. I don't follow the team well enough to know. I don't have his decision tree in front of me, but clearly something's got to change.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I like Yarmo's just throw caution to the wind approach. But when you're a fan base and you're an owner and you're trying to build the team, it doesn't really work out. You lose Panarin. Or who did he lose? He lost Bobrovsky and Panarin for nothing. right? And then you lose, you sign Gaudreau for no good reason. You trade Pierre-Luc Dubois for another problem, Patrick Laine, and that hasn't worked out whatsoever. He came into the situation with arguably the best defense in hockey when you have Seth Jones, you had Werenski, you had Murray, you had such a solid defense, and now Savard, like just a great spot. And then you bring in, I think they have a Jason Garrison right now. You have the opposite of a puck moving decor back there. So yeah, maybe I agree with the Columbus fans. It's fun to watch this guy's at the deadline, but then when you sit back and you do a big, you know, his scope of work, nothing to really show for it. What has he done in the playoffs? Not much. So maybe it's time to move on. For some reason, the GM doesn't want, or the owner doesn't want to fire him, or the president, whatever it may be. I've never seen Yarmo, but maybe he's just a really personable, suave person. Marc Bergevin was like that way in Montreal, where he's just a likable guy, you know, and he just, everybody around him liked him, the ownership, this and that. Maybe they just don't want to fire that guy. But there's an expiry date on everybody. It looks like Yarmo's almost up. So Tim. Oh, go ahead.
I'm just looking at, I Googled Jarmo Kekalainen trade history, and I'm bringing up Cap Friendly. How long has he been around their GM?
Like, how long has he been alive for? I don't know.
No. How long has he been their GM?
No idea, because I know they had Davidson as the president. And he's been there for a while.
Like 7-8 years, that long?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. So these trades are all him. So there's like a trade history going back to at least 2017. I didn't realize he's been here for that long. Maybe I could be looking at this wrong, but yeah, he made a lot of moves and they have not been good. So,
anyway. What are they? Let's list them out.
Well, okay. He acquired Damon Severson, the Provorov trade, where he acquired Provorov in exchange.
I want to cut you off, Tim. I don't want to cut you off. He goes all the way back to 2013.
Which,
as a GM. As a GM, he's been there since 2013.
Oh, wow. So, okay. So you're talking about, yeah. Let's see. He got rid of Oliver Bjorkstrand. He traded, let's see, Max Domi he had, Cam Atkinson, Seth Jones, obviously the big one. That doesn't look great. Nick Foligno, David Savard, Riley Nash. Yeah, but it's hard to. Pierre-Luc Dubois, Ryan Murray, Domi again. Yeah,
a lot of good players. Yeah. In 10 years, I feel like they've really done nothing of substantial, you know, notice. But what are you gonna do? You can't fault him. He's trying. But man, maybe it's time for him to pack up and go. So anyways, moving on, Tim, to the Toronto Maple Leafs. We've talked about this for a while. We're going to touch on them a little bit just because we don't want to overdo it with Toronto. They've lost four straight. They've fallen into a wild card spot. They are just out of sorts. Nobody knows what to do. Their head coach, Sheldon Keefe, made some interesting comments last night. What did he say, Tim? Because this is not good when your head coach is saying this.
Yeah, like so four straight, like you said, they blew a 3-0 lead to the Avalanche during that stretch. They blew a 2-0 lead to the Edmonton Oilers during that stretch. So they are really skidding right now. And Keefe said, quote, after 42 games, I still have questions about who I can rely on. Who are we going to rely on in those moments? Who's going to go out and get the job done? 42 games in, I still have a lot of questions, quite honestly. But who's going to go out? You can say for certain they're going to get the job done for us. That is a major quote. I can only imagine how that's being tossed around the Toronto media and airwaves and radio and all that right now. Because you've got a coach who's basically saying, I don't know who I can trust on my team to deliver when it matters most. And there's two edges to this sword. First of all, he's right to be critical of the team because you are losing. You should be a top 2-3 team in the league with this lineup and the production that you're getting from some of these players. And so the players have to be better. But the other argument right now that I'm seeing online is like, he's not the one to get it out of those players. You know what I mean? Like, it's time for a coaching change because a coach shouldn't have to ask those questions. You've got Austin freaking Matthews. How do you not know who you can rely on in those moments? It's you, coach. You got to get more out of these players. So it goes both ways. I feel like the players are certainly to blame as well, but this quote really carries a lot of weight, I think.
Well, I get what he's trying to do. He's trying to spur some reaction with the Leafs players. He's trying to motivate them to do more, to bear down in critical situations, to play better. That's his job. His job is to get these guys to play better, to play harder. It's not working. And I've also seen some people saying, well, we're not sure about you. You've been here for 4 years now. Maybe it's you. And I tend to agree with the people who take that side of the argument, because as a coach, your job is to answer these questions, right? Your job is to figure out who you can put in certain situations, which players work best with others, and you need to figure it out pretty quick. And I get if you're a first-year coach, you're trying to figure things out, trying to find out which players can do what and what situations, and you know who cracks under pressure, this and that. You've been there for 5 years, right? Like, he's been there quite a long time, 4 or 5 years. How do you not have that figured out? How do you not know? And this is an honest question to him and to you, Tim. Answer it if you can, or to our listeners. If you're around a group of people for a long period of time in any situation, you know what those people can and can't do. And if it's your job and you're being paid millions of dollars to analyze every single one of those people and to know what makes them tick and to know how they work, do you think you would know after 4 years what certain people can and can't do? And if they can't do it, maybe get someone else to do it, right? I think it's just a cop-out for him. He doesn't know what the hell's going on. I think he's slowly being shown to be just a bad coach. Maybe he's a good hockey mind. Yeah, maybe he can draw up some plays, some scenarios. He's a good guy in the power play. That's all true. I think he's a terrible coach. And this is another thing, Rick Tocchet. You bring in a coach who can maybe coach these Toronto Maple Leafs, maybe push the right buttons. Maybe you see a different result from these guys, because right now, this team is too good, Tim, to be performing like this. And I know, what do you shake your head? Are you disagreeing with me?
No, you're right. I mean, they have 13 regulation wins. I'm going to read you some teams that have more regulation wins than that. I'm not talking about the top dogs like the Avalanche and the Bruins, Canucks. It's the Islanders. It's the Kraken, the Capitals, Coyotes, Flyers, Sabres, Blues, Flames, Red Wings, Penguins, Predators. These teams will have more regulation wins than Toronto. And that's really important. Not just the fact that these teams are playing better in regulation than them. It means that most of the rest of those points, I think there's another 8 or 9 points that you count for where they are in the standings, are coming from 3-on-3 overtime, which means nothing in the playoffs because you're not going to see it, and shootouts, which means nothing in the playoffs because you're not going to see it.
Tim, there's, you know, 24, what I mean? 24 points are coming from the shootouts in overtime. If they only have 13 regulation wins, that's 26 points. They're at 50 points now. So half of their points are coming via overtime or shootouts, which is like crazy. They don't do that in playoffs, like you said. So they do overtime, but it's 5-on-5. But going back to my point, I think it's Keith's fault. I think he's the one who has to go. If there's any questions about why this team is failing after 4 years, yeah, the players, this and that, and Marner and Matthews, they don't play defense. They're playing defense a little bit better this year. Yeah, well, you know, the goaltenders, they're having an issue. Samsonov was a stud last year. They still didn't do anything. Yeah, well, you know, the defense, they got a pretty good decor. Like, you look at it. Like, the players they've had in and out of this organization over the last 4 or 5 years have been pretty solid D-men. It's the coach. I firmly believe that. That's it.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I'm just thinking about how apparent it is of like the contrast between this team and like the Flyers, who are outperforming every expectation. It's because of the coach. It's Vancouver, who has had basically the same lineup for 3 years, minus Bo Horvat, and you're playing your best hockey ever, and it's because of the coach. And even the Bruins that lost. Look, they lost Bertuzzi,
Bergeron, Krejci,
like all these great players, Taylor Hall, and they're still in first place. And it's because of the coach. You know what I mean? It's so apparent. And you look at the team like Toronto by comparison, and they're just so, so good on paper, and they're not doing anything with it. And it's because of the coach.
It really does goes to show you how important that is. So I think Keith needs to go. There's no other way around it. He is not working out. This team is not you know, responding to his criticism. They're not responding to his questions, his, it's just this crap. If I'm a player in that room, I'm just like, get this guy out of here. Because he's throwing us all under the bus. I don't know who to count on anymore. I really don't. Who can I rely on? Who are we going to rely on those moments? What moments? The high pressure ones, maybe at the end of the ice, end of the game. It just drives me nuts. It's a cop out for Keith. You don't know your players. You don't know your team. That's your job to know those things. And if you don't know that, maybe we need to find someone else who does.
Yeah, and so like you said, they're in a wild card spot. Detroit won last night, which put them ahead of them. Detroit's having a great season. We need to spend some more time on them next week. But what's really interesting, and I don't think they're, maybe they are. They're in danger of missing a playoff spot now. But what's, and a fan pointed this out, shout out to Steven C. for giving us the stat. The Leafs have lost to Chicago twice. The Chicago Blackhawks, who don't even have a professional team, really. And if you go back to last, you know what I'm saying.
I know.
You go back to last year, Calgary missed the playoffs because of the Chicago thing. You know what I mean? Because of the Blackhawks and all the Tank for Bedard thing. And so Calgary missed out on the playoffs because of that. And so if you look at the Leafs, if they missed the playoffs by a point or two, you're going to go back to these games and realize you couldn't beat the worst team in the league twice in that season. So it's just not good. Not to mention Willie Nylander. In the five games since you signed that big ticket deal, has 0 goals and 3 assists.
Can I pour more salt in the wounds to them losing to Chicago? So
please do.
The two times they've lost to Chicago, they've played Chicago's backup goaltender, Arvid Soderblom. Arvid Soderblom has started 16 games this year. He's 2-13-1.
No way.
He hasn't beat any team in the NHL except for the vaunted Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah,
put that into context. So they're playing a backup goaltender who is really struggling, and they still can't get by the Chicago Blackhawks. So I just think that's very funny. But
we should get Steve Yangel back on the show and just torment him.
Do you follow his stuff anymore? Is he losing his marbles? Like, I pick him up in the playoffs a little bit when he just was really screaming. It's too loud for him. A lot of the time, I'm just like, relax, man. Like, just pump the brakes. I don't know how he does it, but yeah, Willie Nylander, it's a good contract. Let's just touch on their acquisitions they had this season, because I was raving about them. I said Brad Treveilan came in. The things they were missing, maybe a little sandpaper, maybe a little energy in the playoffs, some guys who can go out and lay the body. They answered that. They bring in Bertuzzi and Domi. Bertuzzi's having a terrible year. 6 goals, 13 assists, 19 points in 42 game played. That ain't good enough. For a guy who's supposed to come in and anchor that left wing on the first line with Marner and Matthews. He's supposed to be a point per game guy who adds that sandpaper. Finally find someone who can fill that Hyman role that was lost when he went to Edmonton. It's not working out so far. Max Domi takes a 1-year deal in Toronto, kind of a hometown coming. His dad played there. Ty Domi, he's coming in. He's having an okay year. 23 points in 42 games, but again, not good enough. 23 and 42, he's getting power play time, he's getting second line time, he's getting a lot of opportunities, and he's also taking suspect penalties at times. That is putting the teams behind the eight ball, PK, just in that. Ryan Reeves, friend of the show, three-time friend of the show. Boy, oh boy. 1 point, 1 goal versus the Chicago Blackhawks. 21 games played, he's hurt right now. I think he's minus $1 million. Not looking good so far. He hasn't really brought much of anything. Got to fight a first game. Everybody was happy. Then he just couldn't get out of the way of getting scored on. Maybe that's not his fault, but not really working out. Johan Klingberg, 5 points in 14 games. He's injured on the LTIR. But I just did a little digging with him. Maybe it wasn't that good of a thing to bring him in. Yes, he puts up some points. Yes, he did well in Dallas, but maybe it was a little bit of smoke and mirrors. His last year in Dallas, he had a boatload of points. I think he had 50 or 60 points. Good. He was minus 28, Tim. In Dallas, which is a very good defensive team. They're responsible. They're a veteran team. He was dash 28. So I did a little more digging. Oh, maybe that was because they were just a bad team. They were a Stanley Cup contending team that year. Miro Heiskanen was a plus 3. So if you have that disparity between two defensemen who play the same amount of minutes, play with the same amount of guys up front, one's dash 28 and one's plus 3, that says a lot to me because they're both in the same situation a lot of the times. That's 31 goal difference. So maybe Klingberg wasn't the answer there. And I think it's showing. He's minus 7. He's got 5 assists only in 14 games. So you expand that to a whole season. He's dash 42. which is woof. I talked about them needing a veteran goaltender, someone to come in and right the ship. They bring in Martin Jones. He's done good. I'm going to give him, you know, his pat on the back when it's due. He's played very well. Maybe they should have, you know, a guy I bandied about, maybe Jonathan Quick. He would have been easy to bring in. He's coming out for Rangers stint that wasn't too great. The Rangers bring him back. He only makes $825,000 a year. Yes, he's 37, but he makes $825,000. You know what his numbers are right now, Tim? 0.912 save percentage, 2.49 goals against average. More importantly, he's 9-3. That's all we need a backup to do. Play okay. We'll give you 20, 25 games. Maybe he could have mentored Ilya Samsonov a little bit. They didn't do that. And Joseph Wall, rookie, he gets hurt. Now we're in trouble. Samsonov's playing like garbage. You have to scramble. Martin Jones comes in. Thank goodness he's played okay at times. So stupid, these GMs. I don't get it. All right, anything else on Toronto, Tim? Are they going to right the ship, do you think?
Yeah, because they're just as capable as winning five in a row. You know what I mean? Like, they can go on a run, and Matthews gets two hat tricks in three games, and, like, we'll see some of that at some point in the next couple of months as well. So ultimately, it comes down, what it always comes down to, the playoffs. I think they'll be there just fine.
I agree. Yeah, they'll make the playoffs and they'll lose first round. I really think they'll lose first round. I don't think they have a good playoff team at all. So that's just my take on it. All right, moving
me
on.
Neither.
Quick hits. What are we going to do?
Yeah, let's get the quick hits brought to you by DoorDash Canada. Open the app, choose what you want, and use promo code NATION25 for $15, or sorry, 25% off your free delivery for your first order over $15 when you download the DoorDash app. Offer valid in Canada, subject to change. Terms and conditions may apply. Interesting little note here. Scott Hartnell said a lot of the teams that were in on Carter Gauthier's trade list last week declined offers from the Flyers because of the way the whole situation went down and his attitude toward the Flyers. So it wasn't just like us reacting to stuff he said. Teams around the league were, he's gotten a little bit of a reputation here, and they didn't want any part of it. So I thought that was really interesting.
I don't believe that for a second. Not one second.
Really?
No. No, I don't. Why would you? Oh, he doesn't want to play for the Flyers. I don't want him anymore. Potentially really, really solid forward.
It's not that.
No, I don't want him.
He wouldn't take the call. He wouldn't have a meeting with
all the other crap players do, and GMs are perfectly fine with it. And this guy just didn't like the Flyers, so there's like, I'm done. A 19 or 18 year old kid having maybe a bad stance on something, maybe an awkward situation, and didn't want to face it. Oh, I'm all out. I don't believe this. I think this is small. I think Hartnell's wrong. I think he maybe talked to one or two GMs. And that was it. And he did a blanket statement. I don't think so. Maybe. I don't think so, Scott.
He said a lot of the teams.
Your silly haircut.
If you're a GM and you're calling Briere and you're like, hey, what's the deal with Cutter? And Briere's like, I don't know. He won't call me back. He won't take a meeting. He's like, oh, geez, I don't want anything to do with that kid. You know what I mean? Like, that's what he's talking about. So
I would not think that way if I was a GM. I would say I'm calling his agent. If he doesn't like you, maybe he'll like me. Get this guy for pennies on the dollar. I don't know if I believe that.
Another interesting thing here from Julian Brisebois down in Tampa Bay said, quote, Steven Stamkos is not getting traded, so we can put that one to bed. We talked about that on this show, about the possibility of him being moved. Doesn't sound like that's going to happen, but again, things could change.
He said the same thing to Ryan McDonough.
Yeah.
Friend of the show.
McDonough he said wasn't it, a franchise player.
He said it here on the show, Mac. He's like, he told me I wasn't going anywhere. Then I get a call and I'm traded to Nashville.
Yeah. Jack Eichel had lower body surgery. He's going to be out week to week. This one's a little bit mysterious. They haven't released what's going on with him. And some of the stuff I was reading was that there's some legitimate concern there about him and his health. So usually you get a little bit more information, but they've kept this pretty general, kept this kind of under the hood here. So we'll see what goes on with him and how quickly he bounces back. Because Vegas they've slid a little bit as well.
I thought it was cosmetic. There's a lot of competition in Las Vegas looks-wise, and I feel like he went in and had some work done. That's what I'm hearing.
A little me
and Scott Hartnell. That's what I heard. Yeah.
A couple more quick ones here. Valerie Nichushkin has entered the NHLPA's player assistance program. So something going on there. We were singing his praises on the ice a week or so ago, but something's up and he's taking a step away.
cocaine, and the last you would one think, here,
friend of the right? show.
Let's do some speculation here. Is it the white stuff, or you think it's alcohol?
I'm not going to speculate. You can do that if you want.
I bet you it's cocaine. That's what I think. It seems like these Russians, for whatever reason, because remember there was the issue in Washington, was Kuznetsov. There was the pictures of him, and then there's, I don't know, I think that's probably what it is. Who am I to say?
Galchenyuk. Yeah.
Galchenyuk. Galchenyuk does it too? Yeah. You heard it here first. I wonder if they get a deal.
Last one here. Yeah, I'm sure. Friend of the show, Tyler Ennis, retired officially. He'd been playing in Mannheim in Germany. He's only 34 years old. I thought he was older, but he's retired from pro hockey. Good for him. We should get him back on too.
Smart time to retire. When I knew I was done after the All-Star game stuff, my agent's like, just wait to retire because the NHL continues your health insurance until the new year. So you get it for an extra like 3 months. So that's what he did. He waited till the health insurance cut off and then you retire. Because if you retire before, they pull the plug on your insurance. Then you have to go into the Cobra and you have to pay for it. And it's like $10,000 a month.
Huh.
Chance. So expensive. Maybe not $10,000. Maybe it was like $5,000. I'm exaggerating thing. Maybe it was $1,000 a month. I can't remember. It was a lot of money. It couldn't have been $10,000. That's outrageous. Maybe $1,000?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was like 10. Probably felt like it.
It felt like $1 million. And so I don't even have insurance. I just tell my kids, don't get hurt. All right.
Mark, good advice.
I'm kidding. Of course, I have insurance. All right, everybody. Well, thank you for listening. We appreciate your support. I hope you guys stick around for Monday. We have another interview coming up. Jason Demers, friend of the show, newly retired. Is he working for Team Canada, I believe?
He's working for NHL Network. He's on TV all the time.
We're going to have to talk to him about that. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Have a good weekend. We'll talk to you next week. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.